I want to welcome you all here this evening. Praise God that He's brought us safely through another week, and we're able to fellowship and to meet together in worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. I know the Lord has been blessing each one of us, and I'm looking forward to hearing about it later on in the meeting. But why don't we go ahead and have our opening song? It is Tell Me the Story of Jesus. And I'll go ahead and put it into the room here. Tell Me the Story of Jesus.
Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels before us sang as they welcomed His birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past. How for our sins He was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of His labor, tell of the sorrow He bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell of the glory of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed Him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid Him. Tell how He liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
And thank you, brother. Indeed, this is the story that we're to be telling others, pointing them to the Savior, and what He did for us and what He's continuing to do for us. If we can bow our heads and kneel as far as possible for opening prayer. Precious Father, we thank You so very much for Thy many and wonderful blessings. We thank You, Lord, for bringing us all safely to this midweek church service, and we pray that Your presence will be in our midst, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, to grace our hearts and our homes and places where we're meeting together over the internet with the sweet atmosphere of heaven and with a understanding of truth and also an empowerment of Thy Spirit. We plead with Thee, Father, to pour Thy Spirit out upon us in both early and especially latter rain power, so that we might behold wondrous things out of Thy Word, that it can enliven our hearts with devotion and with sincerity in taking Your Word to others. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being with us now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Again, praise God that He's brought us all safely through another week and that we're able to be here to fellowship and to communicate and to talk and pray and sing and give testimonies to one another of how God has worked in our life from the last time that we met together. And I have just a short story that I want to go ahead, a short study that I want to go ahead and give you the link for, and that way you can follow along and be able to read and have embedded in your hearts more fully the inspired words that God has given to us in these last days. So let me go ahead and put this in the room. The actual link is www.lightministries.com/SDA/ID1332.htm. And it's entitled Consecrated Efforts to Reach Unbelievers. And this is actually a testimony that was written by Ellen White from Elmshaven on June the 5th, 1914. So about a year before she fell asleep in Christ. And so let us go ahead and read through this. And if you have any thoughts or comments, please feel free to put your mic into the room, and we'll hear how God has led you and be that much more edified ourselves. So, consecrated efforts to reach unbelievers. Those who claim to be looking for the return of the Savior should bring into active service all the powers of their being. The church on earth is to be the light of the world. And again, who is God's true church? It's individual souls that have devoted their powers, have given their lives to Jesus, and thus they become part of His body, part of His church, and we are to be the light of the world. Each one of us individually is to be a shining light to the darkness that is in the world. God designs that through the individual members of His church, life-giving beams shall shine forth into the dark places of earth and into the heart of every benighted soul. Thus the whole earth is to be lighted with His glory. So what is the beginning stages of lightening this world with God's glory? It's when the individual members, those individuals that are connected directly with Christ, go forth and let their light shine as beams into the dark places of the earth. That's how the world is going to become ablaze with the light of truth, with God's glory as the waters cover the sea. Many people have been trained, I guess, or brainwashed is another way to look at it, that it has to be some organized, gigantic conglomerate of a church or a denomination that's to go forth and fill the earth with God's glory. But that's not what we just read here. It's when the individual members of His church allow their light to shine forth into the dark places of the earth that the whole earth is to be lightened with His glory. So if we wait for church organizations to do the work, it's not going to happen. It has to be an individual effort. Continuing. In all the relationships of life, whether in the intimacy of the home circle or in the business and social world, there are many ways in which one may acknowledge their Lord and win souls for His kingdom. We are living in the closing years of this earth's history, and it is especially important that we lose no time in acquainting others with the precious truth that will prepare them to stand blameless before God in the day of judgment. So when can we witness to others? Do we have to wait for special occasions when we actually go out door to door or maybe on the street corner passing out tracts? No. We can do it even in the very home we live in, or in the job that we go to, or in the other aspects of the social world, like when we go shopping or whatever. Any of these areas where we're outside of our home and meeting others are times in which we can share God's word. And we may never have to say a word while we're out there. It's just by the life that we live. But especially it's in giving tracts or talking of the Lord Jesus Christ with others. But even in the very home, we can do the same thing. So we are living in the closing years of this earth's history, and it is especially important that we lose no time in acquainting others with the precious truth that will prepare them to stand blameless before God in the day of judgment. Our own souls must be firmly grounded in a knowledge of the truth if we would win others from error to truth. That's why these midweek services are designed to enable us to understand and give us ways in which we can go forth and witness to others. It's a way of training ourselves to be prepared to give the reason of the hope that is within us with meekness and fear to all those who want to know and to all those with whom we meet. So our own souls must be firmly grounded in a knowledge of the truth if we would win others from error to truth. Let me go ahead and refresh this for Sister Lou that has just come in. Welcome, Sister. We're down to the third paragraph. We need now to search the Scriptures diligently, that, as we become acquainted with unbelievers, we may hold up before them Christ as the anointed, the crucified, the risen Savior, witnessed to by prophets, testified of by believers, and through whose name we receive the forgiveness of our sins. As we exalt the cross of Calvary before others, we shall find that it exalts us. So as we are leading others to understand more about Jesus Christ, in that very act of leading others to understand the truth, it lifts us up as well. And we gain a blessing from that experience. So as we impart to others the knowledge that God has given us, we in turn receive a blessing. We're able to understand the truth better ourselves. So as we exalt the cross of Calvary before others, we shall find that it exalts us. Let every believer now stand in his lot and place, catching the inspiration of the work that Christ did for souls while in this world. We need the ardor of the Christian hero who endures to the end, ever beholding him who is invisible. Our faith must have a resurrection. Wherever we are, and whatever our opportunities, whether limited or extended, we are to exert a positive influence for good. So what is one way of witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ? Wherever we are, and whatever our opportunities, whether these opportunities are limited or extended, whether they're small or great, we are to exert a positive influence for good. In order to fulfill the purpose of God as laborers together with Him, it is not necessary that all believers work in the same manner or along similar lines. So, what one person is gifted to do, for instance, in being able to go out and talk directly with strangers that they've never seen before and be able to witness the truth through that method. There's others that do not have that gift, but they have another ability to witness the truth. So in God's work, in this area of witnessing the truth to others, it is not necessary that all believers are to work in the same manner or along similar lines. No precise lines are to be laid down. And why is that? Because each one of us is different. Each one of us has a different type of character. Yes, we're all to represent Jesus Christ in our life, but we're all different in character. We grew up differently with different experiences and different surroundings and different circumstances that led to the developing of our character. We each have different gifts. We each have strong points and weak points compared to the other individual. So we're not all going to work in the very same way. There's going to be differences, but it's the same Lord Jesus Christ that binds us one with each other. And if my particular talent, say, is being able to hand tracks out in different places, and another person's talents are more for personally witnessing to others by going door to door or out on the street corner, and someone else's particular talents and gifts are in doing witnessing over the internet or witnessing through phone calls or whatever your particular talents are. Just because we don't share the same talents doesn't mean we can't get together and pray with and for each other, that God will help our particular talents to increase, and that we can joy and become thrilled with the successes or the efforts put forth by others in other ways than what we would do. That's one reason why these midweek church services are so important, is because we can listen to how you have witnessed to others with your particular talents, and we can praise God with you. And you in turn can listen to how we have witnessed to others, and you can praise God with us. It's a way to unite hearts together in a bond that cannot be broken by the devil or any of his agents. And it's a way of moving the hand of providence to bless all the efforts put forth so that God can multiply the seed sown and bring about an abundant harvest. So continuing. No precise lines are to be laid down. Let the Holy Spirit direct each worker, and let each be willing to listen to the counsel of those who have been chosen to lead out in the various activities of the church. Thus the truth will ever stand on vantage ground. So who's the one leading you to go forth and witness in a particular way, at a particular time, in a particular area? It's the Holy Spirit. It's not the people of the church telling you you have to go out on a certain hour, at a certain day, in a certain area, and witness a particular type of truth. It's the Holy Spirit that leads and guides you on what to do. Continuing. Some can best recommend the truth, not by argument or talk, but by living the principles of truth, by leading a modest, humble life as consistent disciples of the meek and lowly Christ. So in witnessing to others, does it always involve a tract or a booklet, or personally talking to them about Jesus? No. Again, it depends on the talents that God has blessed you with. Some can best recommend the truth, not by argument or talk, but by living the truth in their lives. So even though they may never go out and talk to any person because they just don't have the ability to talk, by living the truth in their lives, they're giving a witness to others that cannot be controverted. It can't be denied. Yes, they see that Christ is living in you, and that is a stronger witness in and of itself than someone who can preach the most eloquent sermon but then goes out to the bar after he's done. His example contradicts the message that he just preached. So a life like Christ in character is a very powerful way to witness the gospel to others around you. So that's one way of being able to witness. Continuing. Especially is this true of those who are unable to give an intelligent reason for their faith, and of those who have a zeal not according to knowledge. So depending on where you are in the relationship of your faith being built, if it's right at the very beginning, your most powerful witness is by living a Christ-like life. And then once the truth becomes embedded in your heart more fully, then you're able to go out and witness the truth in different ways. Such believers should talk less in vindication of our faith and study their Bible more, letting their deportment bear eloquent testimony to the power for good which the truth exercises in heart and life. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So we're not only to study the truth so that we can draw closer to Christ, so that we can rid ourselves of errors, but we're also to study the truth so that we might be able to give an answer to those who ask us why we're different than the world is. Why we don't go to theaters, why we don't smoke, why we don't drink, why we don't eat meat. All of these are opportunities of people asking us questions why, and we need to be able to know the ready answer to give them. Continuing, the fear here spoken of does not mean distrust or indecision, but with due caution, guarding every point, lest an unwise word be spoken, or excitement of feeling get the advantage, and thus leave unfavorable impressions upon minds, and balance them in the wrong direction. Godly fear, humility, and meekness are greatly needed by all in order to represent correctly the truth for this time. So in other words, what we're being cautioned about here is making sure that we are converted to the truth in our hearts so that when we do witness the truth to others, it is under the power and direction of the Holy Spirit, and thus a good witness, a proper balanced witness is given in favor of the truth. God desires every believer to be a soul winner. Did you see any kind of age threshold here, dear ones? No. God desires every believer, irregardless of their age, to be a soul winner. And he will bless all who look to him in confidence for wisdom and guidance. Now, it's proper to come together in fellowship, in confidence, asking questions, receiving answers, asking counsel, receiving counsel. That's very proper to do. But the wisdom and the guidance in how to work the truth past barriers directly into the heart soil of others has to come from God. You need to look to Him for wisdom in the words to say. You need to look to Him in guidance on when to say it. And you have the promise of the Holy Spirit coming to you and giving you the words that you need at the very time that you need them to witness Jesus Christ to others. So God is your wisdom. God is your guider. And that's where you can find everything that you need to effectively witness about God to others. As they move guardedly, walking in wisdom's way and remaining true to the Lord God of Israel, the purity and simplicity of Christ revealed in the life practice will witness to the possession of genuine piety. In all that they say and do, they will glorify the name of Him whom they serve. So in witnessing the truth, we must be converted to the truth. If we're not converted, it's better that we don't go out witnessing to others, because our lives would detract from the truth that we're giving them. And when we do go forth with a converted heart, our very lives are witnessing the truth to others. And when we do speak to others, it needs to be under the direct wisdom, guidance, and counsel of God. And He's promised to be right with us as we go forth to lead others to Him. He's promised to give us the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth, even at that very instant that we need it. There's been times when I've been asked questions, and some questions I've dreaded to even have asked me because I did not know the answer. But right when the question was asked, the Holy Spirit gave me the correct answer to give back. I didn't know it before, but right when I needed it, my importunity was God's opportunity to provide the wisdom to lead that soul into a further understanding of God's truth. And He'll do the same for you, dear ones. That's why you must look to God for wisdom before you go out in witnessing, even if it's just as simply as putting a track somewhere that you go, the bus station, or, you know, when you're having to go shopping or something along that way. Pray to God for the wisdom to know where to put the track that it's going to reach the best possible person that needs it. And He will guide you. So let us go ahead and stop here, and next time we'll come back and finish the rest of this important inspired counsel on how to witness. So how has God led you in this past week? How has your witnessing ventures been to that at least one soul that you were to witness to? Anybody would love to give a testimony? Please go ahead.
But I don't want to leave this room too quiet. There's so much to be able to say. we all must have a little something. I have to actually say that I didn't exactly have a very successful, or I suppose what I would believe to be successful, witnessing time this week. But I guess I'm really not the best judge of that based on what we were just reading. Because there are, from what I'm understanding, living Christ also is a witness before those who we may be out and about in front of and doing our daily business. We may be giving a very good witness if we are walking in the Spirit at that time in front of someone who may have needed to see exactly what we were doing at that particular time. So in my daily through my week, helping a person here, helping a person there, holding a door there. Different little things, I suppose, may not have been the handing of the tract or actually giving, you know, a full gospel testimony to someone who I passed. But I suppose maybe in some ways, just from looking at what we have read, my witnessing needs some polishing, but also I think I need to be careful at times. Hey, there you go, simple kindness, not to get too hard on myself, because I may think I need to do this and I need to do that, and the Lord just wanted me to be quiet and just go and live Christ for the day. And as you're walking about and have the smile of the Lord on your face and open a door and give a good direction and make sure it's in the right direction and different things like that. So I suppose I didn't have too bad of a week leading up to today. As I had spoken to, I think, Brother Rob, I mentioned to you that my brother may have come by, but he didn't come by, and I believe that in some ways that was the Lord's work. I did get to have a video chat with him, though, and it's really amazing because he knows that I'm trying to serve the Lord, and I believe he did everything in his power to avoid any conversation whatsoever that has to do with God. It was really interesting watching him try to find very little to talk about, because if I started to talk too much, I know what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm going to talk about how my life is for the Lord. I'm going to talk about all these different things, which I can't leave God out of, because the Lord, I really want him to be so much in my life, so I wouldn't be able to say anything without saying, well, by God's grace, and oh, well, I praise God for this. And so he really was very, very careful on how he talked about basically nothing. It wasn't a very long conversation, unfortunately, but I pray, you know, also, as we've always kept it in prayer, that maybe one day, you know, the Lord will continue to work in his heart. Maybe one day he'll actually see that he needs the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So I guess that's what I wanted to share.
Well, amen, brother, and we'll continue to uphold your brother in prayer. And, you know, from what you shared just tonight, it seems to me that he's already aware of the truth that you stand for, and it's already beginning to trouble his heart, and that may be why he's trying to avoid all conversations that lead to that particular direction. He's already being pricked in his heart by the Spirit, and so perhaps time is what is needed to allow the hard heart to soften or become harder depending on his choice, but you know, praise God that you were able to witness to some. Sister Michelle mentions that she puts tracts in bookstores and inside the books that she takes off the shelf, and then she puts it back on the shelf, and the next person that comes and wants to look at that book will open it up and find a tract, you know. And the prayers go right along with each tract that's given out for God to lead the individual who needs that particular message in the tract to that particular place where it's found so that they can find it. There was another sister here, Sarishia, mentions that she's been able to witness or talk to two of her coworkers about the blessed truth about the Sabbath. And praise God, dear sister, we will definitely keep those two co-workers in prayer. In fact, we can pray right now for them. If we can bow our heads and join with me in prayer. And precious Father in heaven, we thank you for giving this dear sister the words of truth to speak to two of her co-workers about the Sabbath truth, and we pray that these seeds will not be lost, that they will not be snatched away by the wicked one, but that they may take deep root into their heart soil. And please let them have the good soil so that when the seed does sprout after being watered by the Spirit at the proper time, then it can grow and produce an abundant amount of fruit from that one seed, in turn in witnessing the Sabbath truth to many others for the glory of thy kingdom. And Father, all of those that have witnessed the truth, I pray that you'll be with each heart that was witnessed to. or each tract that was sown, let the right person be directed to that area at the proper time to receive the seeds of truth, those silent messengers, no matter where they might be, and help them, Lord, to become convicted of the truth, converted to it, and produce a new child in the image of God, snatched away from the darkness, from the evil one, to be set free by the truth in Jesus. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer, and for being here with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Sister Lou mentions that she was able to share with a sister that she used to attend the Sunday church with, and that this sister was quite open and listened, and that she's been invited to come by and study with her. Praise God, Sister Lou. Yeah, go ahead, sister.
I was talking to Miss Stevie, one of the co-workers that I work with, and many times when we in the classroom, we close the door and we always talk about God. And I was inviting her tonight to come into the chat room, but like she had some difficulty in the chat room. So she said maybe she will come in on Friday, or I will go over there and try to see how she could come into the chat room. So just pray for her. That's it.
Well, praise God. We'll definitely be keeping her in our prayers. And I'm sorry to hear that she was having problems coming in. And Lord willing, the problems can be worked out in the meantime, and she'll be able to join us on Friday and Sabbath. Sister Lee and Brother Henry mentioned that they witnessed to some people online and talked about how Christ came as a man just like we are, that he was tempted, but he chose not to sin, and that he knows what we're truly going through. And praise God. If the world knew that they have a Savior who knows what they're going through because he's experienced it himself, what a revelation to them that they can know that there's a possibility of them overcoming just like Christ overcame. I mean, what a powerful witness that you were able to give. So are there any other testimonies? Please go ahead.
I would just like to touch back on something that we read, if that's okay, because it had to do with not everyone having the same talents and gifts, and I actually was rejoicing in my heart to see that and hear that out loud in my ears, you know, because I think I used to be of a, you know, attitude and spirit where I wanted to be as much as everyone else was in whatever they were doing, as well as they were doing it. So, I don't know if that makes any sense, but whatever talents I had, I still wanted some of the talents that everyone else had so that I could do as much as they were doing too. But I think that the blessing really comes in when we sit close to the Lord and we listen to him, because he knows what gifts and talents he has given us for the calling that he has put in our life, for the purpose for our life. And this particular part of all his, you know, all the eternity and things like all the time that he has created us for. So I think it's really beautiful to see that, wow, you can be comfortable in Christ and peaceful in Christ and know that joy in Christ by just coming to know and listening to the Holy Spirit. This is your gift. These are your talents. I want you to use them like this. And if you follow me like this, you're going to fit right where you belong. And I believe that such a deep peace would come, because I know that I became a little more peaceful in my heart too when I stopped trying to do so many things that it wasn't for me to do, or to try to think that I had so many talents to do so many other things that just wasn't for me to do. So I'm thankful to God for that, and it was just reassuring to see, wow, yeah, everyone's got their own little talent. And the love in that and the joy in that is wonderful, because brother so-and-so has this talent, sister so-and-so has that talent, their children have these talents, because everyone is being used by God in Christ. Everybody for that building up and edifying of the whole body, rejoicing in the Lord. So I just wanted to share that kind of little joy that I had when I read that and heard that and just sat back and said, wow, that's really great.
So I have a question tonight, and this is just going back from some last Sabbath studies. So I received a tract this week, and it's titled The Grace That Saves. But as I was reading the tract, I was a little bit troubled. The second paragraph of this tract states, and I read it for you, as a sinner, you are without God and without hope. Sin brings death and eternal separation from God. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 14 and 15. Jesus Christ told the story of a rich man who was cast into hell after he died. This rich man is still in hell this very moment, almost 2,000 years after Jesus spoke of him. In 10 years, this man will still be in hell. 1,000 years from now, he will still be in the burning pit of unquenchable fire. He is damned for eternity. As a sinner, you will share the same fate unless you accept God's gift of grace. And my question is, just from you know, going back to the study, and just correct me if I'm wrong, but the hell is the grave, as we learned it from last Sabbath. So I'm just a little bit troubled at what this package basically putting out there for people to read. And so it makes me wonder, are there more like this that are given wrong information, or just, you know, information that will deter others from learning the truth, and how can we change that? I know we can't change every single tract out there, but if I didn't learn this as a Sunday worshiper for many years, I was always led to believe that, you know, hell is a place where you're going to burn and be tormented and be tortured. And if I'm reading this correctly, this is basically what you're saying. So I'm just a little bit troubled about this, and just want to know, you know, in our witnessing, that we're giving out the correct information to everyone that, you know, we're trying to reach out to.
You ask a very good question. What we went over just this last Sabbath about where is hell shows from the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament, that hell simply represents the grave. The tract that you were given refers to the parable that Christ gave about Lazarus and the beggar, where Lazarus was the rich man and he hoarded his money, he didn't benefit humanity, and when he died, he went to hell and was there wanting Lazarus, who was a beggar but who accepted Christ, was taken to heaven. And Lazarus wanted the beggar to just dip his finger in water and come down and touch the tip of his tongue so that his agony would be lessened. Well, Christ was not contradicting the true biblical understanding of hell being the grave. There was a particular belief, and we found out that it came from Babylon, okay? But there was a particular belief that was going around that the Jews were familiar, that dealt with a person being rich but hoarded his goods going to hell, and a person being poor but served the Lord to the best of his ability going to heaven. So Christ used that particular belief as a parable to teach the truth that if you do not benefit humanity with the gifts and talents that you've given, you won't make it to heaven. But people look at that parable and they say it's a reality. And that's not true at all. It was a parable. In fact, in the Bible studies that we have here dealing with death, there's an extra handout or study guide that goes over this particular understanding of the parable of Lazarus and the beggar. So looking through that, you might be able to find ways in which you can help others that have that same belief or that bring that belief up as an objection to what you're sharing with them on the true state of where hell is, which is the grave. You can know how to show them from the scriptures that that belief is not true. So what we went over last Sabbath was from the Bible, showing that hell is not some place of eternal torment for the dead that didn't make it to heaven. It just simply represents the grave where we rest in what's termed sleep. He slept with his fathers when he died. That's what the scriptures say. I mean, the paragraph that you read actually contradicts the belief that it was putting through. If death and hell itself are thrown into the lake of fire, then the lake of fire that tortures people can't possibly be hell, because hell was thrown into it. So just understanding that one paragraph shows contradictions in their beliefs. And God asks us to study his word line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, as we're told in Isaiah. And what that is telling us is we're not just to take a couple texts and instead of comparing them with all the other biblical texts on that same subject, we just take this couple texts here, for instance, the parable of Lazarus and the beggar. We take those texts and we put it up as a major biblical doctrine. Because if we do that, then all the other Bible texts that don't support that particular understanding are thrown out, and thus we're not living by every word of God. We're only living by select words of God. So we need to make sure that before we adopt a doctrine that we believe the Bible teaches, we have to search the scriptures to see every single text that deals with that particular topic. For instance, hell. And once we find every single text that deals with that topic, then we can put them all together like a puzzle, and we can fit all the pieces together so that we have the correct interpretation of that topic, which is hell, or which could be any other topic that we're dealing with. Salvation, grace, justification, sanctification, all of these biblical doctrines, we go through the scriptures, we find all the texts that deal with those particular topics, and we put them all together, and then we find the big picture on that topic. Then we know that we have God's word backing up our understanding, and we're not just going off on some tangent with one Bible text here when 20 Bible texts say something different to what we're teaching others or believing. I hope that helped you, sister. And if not, in our Bible study section under death, you'll find a little study guide that actually addresses this Lazarus and the beggar parable and can help you further in that direction. But we have some prayer requests in here, and before we go any further, let's bow our heads and we can ask God to hear and answer these particular prayer requests. And then we'll come back for more testimonies or any other questions. Yeah, I know, sister, and I am too. I am worried for others that don't know the truth. And one reason that God has called us together is to be able to learn the truth fully and then be able to take that knowledge to others so that they can have a chance to know the truth themselves. So it's like we're coming together to learn how to work for the Lord. And that's what makes these Wednesday night meetings so enjoyable to come to and profitable as well. So let's go ahead and bow our heads, and we'll bring these prayer requests up before the Lord. Father in heaven, we come before thy throne, Lord, with specific prayer requests for different individuals that have chosen to follow thee. And we pray that you will hear and answer each of these requests, and thank you for doing so. We have a request from Sister Lou that her and her children will continue to seek God and to study thy truths and to be led by the Holy Spirit. We also pray, Father, for the individuals that have been witnessed to online and that have been talked about of the gospel and pointing them to Christ. We also ask for Sister Lee and Brother Henry in prayers as their finances are low at this moment, and we pray that you will bless them. We also lift up Sister Ida and Brother Vic, that they find the right place to rent, that it will be a very good locality for them without any problems. Also, Sister Ida's brother, for God given wisdom to the doctors to know exactly what to do to help alleviate his medical condition. Also, Sister Kalo's children and her grandchildren, that you will grant them fully converted hearts so that they will follow you at all times, including after the Sabbath hours end. And Father, all the other prayer requests that we have asked last Wednesday or on Friday or on Sabbath, I pray that you will condescend to hear and answer these. And thank you, Savior, for purifying these prayers, putting your righteousness, adding it with it, so that it will be a sweet incense and a sweet savor unto the Father, so that he will readily receive them and answer them according to his will. And we thank you so very much, Lord, for hearing and answering these prayer requests and for being with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Are there any other testimonies on how your witnessing went this week, or any questions on how to answer particular objections or how to witness or handle a situation differently? Please go right ahead, dear ones.
I would like to come before the Lord for a couple of families that I'm sharing the gospel with. Righteous and heavenly Father, we come before thee, Lord, to give you thanks and praises, dear Lord. Thank you for the gathering. Thank you for being present. Father, forgive me for all my sins and my iniquity, and I shall come in, dear Lord. Unknown and unknown sins, Father Jesus. I pray, dear Lord, that my unrighteousness will not be able to block this prayer, but may be lifted before the throne of your Savior. I pray that you may be able to be with Sister Amy and her family, dear Lord, and sorry that, Father Jesus. May you please be as well with thee and her children as well, Father Jesus. I pray that you may be able to help this dear sister, that she may be able to have a way to get the water pump that had burst, Father Jesus, to be repaired, because they don't have no heat in that home, Father Jesus. And the hot water, at least, for some kind of heat coming in. And I pray, dear Lord, that you may be able to release that. And Father, may you please be with all the children, Father Jesus, that have the word of God with them, but their parents may not necessarily be in agreement with the message that they bring. Give them the strength, give them the courage, dear Lord, so they can be little witness in their home, that they may be able to win the heart of their parents to come to the gospel, Father. I pray, dear Lord, that you may be able to also be with my mother, Father Jesus, that you may be able to give her the opportunity, dear Lord, to seek you. I pray that you may be able to also, Lord Jesus, bring an exodus in my family to leave the cities, Father Jesus, that they may be able to come to the realization that the cities are coming to a close, dear Savior. I pray that they don't wait until the last moment to be able to make that move. But put that edge around them, dear Savior, especially those that are in the front line. Father, be with also the Garay family, Father Jesus, I pray. As all of us are here, Father Jesus, praying that you may be able to guide us and give us the wisdom, dear Savior, that we may be able to go and share the gospel, word in season, Father, one-on-one, phone, email, in whatever circumstances that we have the opportunity, Father. May you use us as instrument that we may be able to glorify your name and bring many into this marvelous gospel, Father Jesus. I pray also, Lord, for all of those young people that are caught up in these secret society, Father Jesus, I pray that you may be able to bring them to light, Father. Let them be able to understand that these things are not of you. We pray, dear Lord, that you put the words in our mouth whenever we come across them. Thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, Father Jesus. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen. Amen. And indeed, this truth is the present truth that God desires to be taken to the world and empowered by his Spirit in a mighty way. It is indeed time that we arise and shine, for our light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us through the righteousness of Christ, that precious message. We are all called of God, no matter how many talents we have, no matter if we have 10 talents or just one talent. We're all called of God to use our talents for his glory in witnessing his truth to others in our lives and also in the words that we say and the materials that we give. And that is how each and every one of us plays a part in filling this earth with God's glory, and each and every one of us plays a part in hastening our Lord's return. So it's not just the ministers that are to do the work. It's not just the workers that are to go out there and do the work. It's each and every person that God has awakened by his truth and has brought out of darkness. Each and every one of us are to work for God in whatever capacity, no matter how great or limited it is, in hastening his return. There will not be one single person in heaven that didn't win at least one soul to God through their example or through the truth that they witnessed to them. As this last week was trying to witness to just one soul, let us carry in this next week just witnessing to one soul. And if we're faithful in doing this, we'll have many souls by the time Christ comes that we've actually witnessed to and hopefully won to the Lord. Are there any other testimonies, any other prayer requests, any other questions? Please feel free to ask them. Go ahead, dear ones. And if not, we'll go ahead and have our closing song and then closing prayer, and then we can finish out this meeting. So any other testimonies or questions, prayer requests, please go ahead. Amen, Kiki. Every person that we have played a significant role in winning to God, we have a star placed in our crown. And there will be no crowns without at least one star in heaven. So we have to be instrumental in winning at least one soul to God in order to be in heaven. It's out of love that we're doing this. It's not to win a place in heaven. But the fact is, no one will make it to heaven unless they have been instrumental in winning at least one soul to God's kingdom. Okay, let me go ahead and put our closing song into the room. Our closing song is God Will Take Care of You. If you don't know this song, it's beautiful. It's very comforting. So God Will Take Care of You is our closing song.
Be not dismayed, nor every pride, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Through all the days of trust or fail, God will take care of you. When dangerous fears your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, He will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. The weary one upon His breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Amen. And as you go out to witness to others, God will indeed be right with you and take care of you, so that there will be nothing that happens that goes contrary to His will. So you have nothing to fear, dear ones. Go and witness Jesus Christ and what He's done for you to others, and God will take care of you while doing so. Shall we bow our heads and kneel as far as possible for closing prayer? Precious Father in heaven, we thank You so very much for being with us this evening. We thank You, Father, for bending Your ear to hear all of the prayers, the prayer requests, and the witnessing that has been done. Whether it was mentioned tonight or kept private, You're aware of it, and we ask You to please bless it and multiply it, so that many souls will be garnered to Thy kingdom. We thank You for hearing and answering the prayers that were given and the petitions that were brought before Thy throne. And we thank You, Father, that Your will is being done in each one of our lives, and that very soon this world will be filled with Thy glory as the waters cover the sea, because this is a promise and it is being fulfilled. And thank You so much for doing so. Thank You for not passing us by, but bringing us out of darkness and into Thy marvelous light. And help us, Lord, to do the same in bringing others out of darkness and also into Thy marvelous light. Thank You for hearing and answering this prayer and for being with us now as we part. Keep us safe. Continue to bless us. Continue to lead and guide. Continue to work in our lives. If we're lacking the finances or need to find a better job or need to find a job at all, please, Lord, open the doors, prepare the way, and continue to keep us safe and stable until we're able to meet again on this coming Friday or Sabbath. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next Wednesday, be a joy to meet back together and see how the Lord has worked in your lives, in witnessing to others, having a testimony to give for His glory. And we'll go ahead and finish the last part of Consecrated Efforts to Reach Unbelievers. Yes, sisters, go ahead.
We will leave you with a scripture song.
Mm-hmm. Fear Dana. Oh, I am with Thee. Be not dismayed, for I am Thy God. I will strengthen Thee, yea, I will help Thee, yea, I will uphold Thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41.
God bless everyone. We love you.
Amen. That is a beautiful song. And God bless you, too. We look forward to seeing you soon, this coming Friday evening or Sabbath, and hopefully both times. But the Lord be with you all, and may his blessings and light shine upon you and give you peace.